Hey, turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. And we're talking about and asking the question today, are you available? And in Matthew chapter 4, there's a great verse there, in beginning in verse 18, and it talks about Jesus' calling of the disciples. And sometimes we take this one without looking in John, but we're going to look at this one first in Matthew chapter 4. And it says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew, and they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Jesus said, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. At once, they left their nets and they followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in the boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. And Jesus called to them, and immediately they left their boat and their father, and they followed him. Available. There's a story of several years ago that the London Transit Authority was bombarded with complaints that their drivers would drive up to a bus stop, the bus drivers would drive up to a bus stop, and they would drive right past it, and then they would drive past a second bus stop, even though customers were standing there waiting to get onto the bus. And they were bombarded with all these complaints. Why aren't you stopping? Why are you driving past us? And the London Transit Authority released the following statement, which has really become infamous with public relations and customer service departments. Here's what the London Transit Authority said in a public released statement. And I want you to picture them saying this in that hoity-toity, you know, British accent, sipping hot tea with their, you know, with their pinky up. It is impossible for us to maintain our schedules if we are always having to stop and pick up passengers. Sincerely, London Transit Authorities. I want to read this one more time just in case you're missing it. It is impossible for us to maintain our schedules if we are always, I can't even read it with a straight face, if we're always having to stop and pick up passengers. What's wrong with that statement? They got their priorities and their purpose confused. They thought their priority was to maintain a schedule instead of their reality is their job was to pick up passengers and to deliver them to their destination. And because they got their priorities confused, they failed to accomplish the very thing for which the organization was created for. Their priority wasn't about a schedule. It was about delivering passengers to their destination. But it's the same thing for us, is that it's easy for us to get our priorities confused. I mean, let's be honest that whether it's in the home and dealing in a marriage relationship or whether it's at work and doing our job versus all the office politics or whether it's leisure or whether it's church or whatever it is, it's easy to get our priorities completely confused. And when we do that, we fail to accomplish the very thing for which we were created. And so today I want to ask you this. What were you created for? When you came into relationship with Christ, when you were saved, when your sins were forgiven, when you came and the Bible says you were a new creation, what was God's purpose? What did he have in mind when he saved you? If you're taking notes today, I want you to write this down, is that you were created to serve. Now hear me out, that when you came into relationship with Christ, the Bible says you were redeemed. Siobhan, it says that you were clean on the inside, that we were sinful and we were made the righteousness of God through Christ, that it says that we were bought with a price, that you were saved, you were made new. The old is gone, Jennifer, and the new has come, that you're a new creation. All those things are very, very true. And we were created, though, with a purpose. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, in fact, if you're taking notes, you need to highlight this verse. It is a great verse. It says, you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, that he has prepared in advance for you to do. In other words, here's what God is saying here, is that God had something in mind for you to do when you were saved. Now, here's the deal. We're never saved by works. We're never saved by the things that we do. And you can have works without faith. That's very clear. But I don't believe that you can have a true, vibrant, passionate faith with God that doesn't lead you to action, lead you to good deeds, lead you to good works. And so he says that you were created in advance. You are saved by faith, by grace, through faith in Christ, period. That's how you're saved. But the Bible says that then you were created to do those good works, and he's prepared for you. So what did he save you to do? And if we look across our country and we look across Christendom, and without being critical here, with just taking kind of a bird's eye view, is that many people mistakenly believe that their purpose as a Christian is to live for God and to come to and fill a pew Sunday morning, and they're satisfied with sitting in a pew and really with no intention to do much more than that. And kind of let me take a sidetrack here. That how many of you in here, you're very, that you can have your seasons of being really testy? And you come on, raise them up high. Shane, we had a conversation the other day. And this has zero to do with that conversation, by the way. So just Shane and I, we went cycling the other day. And so I was telling him some things. But here's the deal. Sometimes when I'm testy, it has to do with unfulfilled potential in my life. That sometimes when I'm feeling very testy, it's when I realize that something inside of me is not satisfied with where God has created me to be. And there's this divine tension inside of me. And so sometimes that there's this tension and we're testy. Partly, maybe it's just me because I'm not fulfilling potential in the things that God has put inside of me. But here's the thing is that many people, they come and they just say, I'm going to be faithful to church. And that may mean once or twice a month. It may mean four times a month. It may be whatever. That's not the point. They say, and that is what I'm called to do and what I'm going to do. But I want to encourage you with this, that you weren't created to come and be a part of a body and just sit. I want to encourage you with this, is that it's not even about you coming to church and being fed. Are you coming to church and go, ooh, God was really there today. I sensed him there. I sensed him in worship. And we've got a great worship team. I sensed him in, best preacher I've ever heard, maybe. It's just in, just kidding. It's not even about us coming and being blessed or coming and being fed or I felt really blessed today. It's not even about that. Truthfully, you know what it's about? Is that really when we come, it's about us blessing God instead of him blessing us. That when we come, how great would it be if we came to church already in a spirit of worship instead of having to get warmed up throughout the song service? What would it be like if we came to church and said, I'm joining a part of the family of God, the Bible, the army of God. I'm joining, instead of saying, I'm going to sit and fill a pew, but I want to help advance God's cause with another group of people who are committed to advancing God's cause. Because it's not necessarily about us being fed or us being blessed. It is about us blessing God. But here's the deal. It's an audience of one. And we are not the audience. Like sometimes we think of in our concept, this is totally off my nose. But here's the deal. In our concept, we think this, is that the performers are up here and Forrest and Aaron and Tanner and Drew and Siobhan and Leah and Josh and Michael, that they're the performers and that we come up here and we perform and this is the audience and all that, when really that's not the case at all. That he is the audience. Not this is not the audience. That he is the audience and we worship and live our lives for this audience of one. And it's not about us being blessed. It's about us blessing him. And I want to tell you, as a side effect, as a result of us blessing him with our lives and us blessing him with our words and us blessing him with our time and us blessing him with our devotion, as a side result, we are blessed. As a side result, we get fed. As a side result, but it's not about us being fed. It's about us blessing him. Whoo! And so what happens is when you say, okay, God, I'm going to bless you by the way that I live. And so I'm going to commit my time to you. I'm going to commit my viewing to you. I'm going to do what you're calling me to do. And I'm going to bless you with my life. Is that in result of the way that he's laid it out, we will be blessed as a result. And we'll be fed as a result. And we will be benefited and enriched as a result of that. So here's the deal. When we serve God with our talents, and with our giftings and with our abilities, it blesses him, and ultimately it blesses us, and that it feeds us, it enriches us. And the thing is, it is possible, though, for us to confuse our priorities. And something that I don't believe is in a very distant thing of saying, if it's God's will and I don't do it, then it will still get done. Some way, mystically, it'll still get done. I don't believe that God's will happens regardless of my actions. Because there are some things that he's called for us to do that are in his will that we don't do, and sometimes it won't get done if we don't do it. Does that make sense? Because of free will, this is a giant can of worms. And so for us, like the London Transit Authority, staying on schedule is a priority. But it's not the priority. It's getting passengers to a destination. For us, coming to church and being faithful to church and worshiping at church is a priority. But sitting in church is not the priority. The priority is serving God and loving God and falling in love with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the priority. And obedience to him and everything that he's called you and he's created you to do. The priority is not sitting in church. It's serving God with our lives. And this is a part of that bigger picture. Here's the deal. I encourage you, go to church every week. And bring somebody with you. What we've been telling Richardson, they're saying, some said 9 o'clock. Oh, gosh, that's my one sleep-in day. And someone in the back stood up and said, one of their leaders stood up and said, then go to the Dallas campus. Just go to church every week. That's right. And then we had some that were attending there. And so the deal is, it's one church, two campuses. And what we're saying is, go to church every week and bring somebody with you. But the priority is not sitting in a pew, bringing your Bible and saying amen, though that's good. The priority is serving God, loving God, all of that. And we were created to serve. And I know that some would say, and this is not a slam, but observation, bird's eye view, is that they would say, hey, I'm too busy to serve God right now. I've got a lot going on. And let me encourage you with this. Don't let life get in the way of serving. So if you're taking notes today, write that down. Don't let life. I mean, it is easy to get busy. It's easy to let life get in the way. I mean, I understand busyness. I have 3 daughters that are right now going 3 different directions. One of them is a babysitting connoisseur and is asked to babysit all the time. I have one that just got involved in cheer. Oh, girl stuff. Whew. Have one that's always hanging out with her friends and soccer and all that, man. And then I have a wife that gets up and leaves. I mean, she gets up at 4 a.m. to have her prayer time and is at her run club by 5:30 in the morning. And meetings and friendships and relationships and teaching and facility that we're working on and another campus. I totally understand being busy. And then forced on top of that to serve in an area of ministry. On top of working at Apple. On top of schooling, on top of practice, and to serve in an area of ministry. It reminds me of a story where the sign-up sheet was in the back of the church, and the husband and wife were headed back there to look at the sign-up sheet, and the husband leaned down to sign in, and the wife goes, before you sign up for anything, you better ask me first. And it wasn't because she didn't want him to serve. It's because she knew that he was a busy man. She knew that he loved to serve God in ministry, and she didn't want him to burn out. And the truth is, we don't want that for anyone to burn out. That's not what God's design for us is. It's not for us to burn out. The truth is in church and in this family and in this body, do you realize why God keeps calling us a body of believers? Because in a body, every part serves a purpose. And that when my knee hurts, I will compensate and then soon my hip begins to hurt. Or that if I have a headache, it affects other parts of the body. And that if something is wrong, if there's sickness, it affects the whole body. It's because each part serves a particular purpose in helping that body to be healthy. And so here, that with the same way that each one of us, large or small, public or private, serve a role in helping this to be a healthy body of believers that are growing closer to Christ, that are knowing Him more and seeing Him, His name lifted up in our midst. And so He calls us a body. And so we don't want a few doing a lot. And can I be blunt today? Can I be blunt with you guys? Being busy is never a good excuse to say I can't serve in ministry. You want to know why? Because you can make happen what is priority to your life. And I say that with as much love as I possibly can. You make happen in life what's important to you. But here's the beautiful thing. Is that I know last week John spoke on serving and the servant, that we do what we're told and we don't necessarily need recognition, and that he went through the whole passage and we taught a similar message in Richardson. I know that's what he taught on, and so we're talking about servanthood, and I believe that we're supposed to carry it over today. And here's the deal, is really what's on my heart is that God never goes to lazy or idle men when he needs someone to do his business. You know, he never goes. He goes to people who already know how to work. And so here's the deal. In the Bible, when God wants a great servant, he went to someone who was already busy. I want you to think about Moses was busy in the desert watching over the flock at Horeb. Gideon was busy threshing wheat on the floor and near the wine press. That Saul, King Saul, was busy searching for his father's donkeys when he received the call to serve. King David was busy caring for his father's sheep. Elisha was busy plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. Nehemiah, who had an amazing impact on his culture, on his era. Nehemiah, I mean, he was pretty busy working for a king as a head of security, as a cupbearer. He had an incredible level of responsibility. Yet God called him to do something for him. You look at Amos. Amos was busy following the flock. Matthew was busy collecting customs. And James and John and Peter and Andrew were out fishing, making their living, and mending nets. You see, God doesn't call lazy, idle people. He calls people who are busy. And why would God do that? Because he wants to find someone who knows how to get the work done. How many of you know that when you're a good servant, and when you're good at your job, you usually are asked to do more? Have you ever noticed that? That when you're good at your job, you're usually asked to do more. And so when the work just needs to be done, God is looking for someone who can be responsible. Now, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 16. I think God is looking for responsible workers. And so here's the thing, is I feel kind of heavy today, but I feel really passionate about what we're talking about. Is Leah, you have a role to serve. You were created for that. That Shane, you have a role. You were created for something special. And so here's two things that I'll never be apologetic about, guys. I will never be apologetic about asking you or encouraging you or teaching you what the Word says about giving. Because the Word teaches on that, and it says that you give, and then this is what happens. You're generous. You sow generously. And I will never be apologetic about asking you to serve in ministry, because I believe that there's blessing for you personally when you are doing what God has created you to do. Luke 16:10 says this, "Whoever can be trusted with a little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much." So here's the thing, is don't get too busy and don't leave God out. Don't get too busy to serve. Because if we're trusted with a little bit, then God can trust us with a lot. That's just the pattern of how God works. And so here's what I want to encourage you with today. is that there's a pattern of how God works and how God trains his people and how God raises people up. And for you, what is God doing with you in your life? And just work within the pattern and plan of God's life for you. Work within God's pattern. Work within God's ways. Work within what he has for you. So here's the deal. Luke 16:10 says, whoever can be trusted with little can be trusted with much. And that God has a pattern of giving more responsibility to us to see how we can handle it. And as we handle it, as we mature, as we do that properly, he gives us more and advances us further. So here's something I want to encourage you with this. Is that, here's the thing. Let me walk. This is not in my notes, so it's something I want us to wade through together. That recently you guys, in some level, have sacrificed with not having your full team here because we've been splitting time somewhere else. Next week that all changes, we'll have staggered services, but you guys have made a sacrifice on some level to do that. And we have made the sacrifice to change service times, to work with some inconveniences, that we are taking on a whole nother campus. And I said, God, why? We felt like we were supposed to do this, and early on it was exciting to think about it, and we're like, no, we're not going to do this. And as we went to the meetings, we felt like this was something we're supposed to do. And I really believe that God is saying, hey, you have been faithful with what I've given you. This isn't huge, glamorous. This is a church body, a healthy, strong, faithful church body who's been serving and working and giving faithfully, and I'm giving you something else as a part of your call as a church because you've been faithful here, and I'm going to give you more responsibility. And here's the deal. As I think that they're going to end up blessing us and we're going to end up blessing them, that it's going to be a beautiful thing of what God does and a good model on some levels. But here's the deal. Is like I feel like God's saying that you've been faithful with what you've had as a church. When I say you, us as a corporate body, you've been faithful. And he's saying, I'm letting you continue to expand what you're responsible for. Because we've been faithful. Does that make sense? Is that we've been faithful with the small things. We've been faithful step by step. We've been faithful when we set up and tore down for 4.5 years. Now, really, 5 full years is still happening right now. And now he's saying, I'm giving you a little more responsibility. Because those who are faithful with small things can be faithful with more things. And so in our lives, let's never get too busy. Let's be faithful. And here's again, I want us to jump back in and I want us to read our passage from the first passage from this morning. Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, Matthew 4:18-22. He saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and they were casting nets, and it goes on. And so if we were to read this, that where he saw Andrew, and he saw Peter, and he saw James, and he saw John, if you read this by itself in its own content, in its own vacuum, you would think this was the first time Jesus saw these guys. First time Jesus met these guys, and you'd think, man, he saw them for the first time. He said, hey, come on, guys, follow me. But the pattern in which God works is that he gives you a little responsibility, and then he adds to that. As you prove yourself faithful, he gives you more. So here's the thing is the Gospel of John tells us that he had met these guys, at least Andrew and Peter, before in a different way. So in John chapter 1, the first chapter of John, here's what happens. It says that the next day after Jesus was baptized, John the Baptist was there again with two of his disciples. When John the Baptist saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, there's the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard John say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus said to them, what do you want? I think that's awesome. Instead of like, hey guys, how's it going? What do you want? They said this. They said, Rabbi, which means good teacher. Where are you staying? Come on, he replied, and you'll see. So they went, and they saw where he was staying, and they spent the day with him. It was about the 10th hour. And here's the deal. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said, and he had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother, Simon, and to tell him, we have found the Messiah. We have found the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him, and he said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, or you'll be called, translated as Peter. So here's the deal, is that Jesus didn't just randomly pick his people and it just suddenly on the spur of the moment, that we see a progress here. In fact, if you look at the Bible, what we see is that he met them, then later on he called them, and then he prayed over them as his choice of disciples, the followers. He worked with them for 3 years. And then over those years, he gave them gradual increasing levels of responsibility and difficulty of assignments. And until finally, at the day of Pentecost, Jesus allowed them to lead and to take care of his most precious possession, the church, capital C. You see, it all started with meeting him and following him, and then later he called them to be his disciples. That's how God works. And I want to encourage you with this. If you're taking notes, write this down. Is that God isn't so much looking at your ability as he is looking at your availability. And so are you available to serve? Are you able? Are you willing to let God do things in your life and through your life? Capture this today. If you're available, God can and will do great things in your life. And sometimes your life isn't as measured by as much by what you do as by what you set in motion. And I want each of us to realize that our purpose as Christians is to serve Jesus, to fall in love with him, and out of that relationship with Christ, to find an area of service that is a blessing to those around us. That's why we're here today. That's why what's on my passionately on my heart today is, where can you serve? Where's the need that you can feel? Are you available? And what are you available to do? Wednesday night, if you want to be a part, jump in with a volunteers meeting. Sign up in the back. If you're currently a volunteer, sign up, get involved. Because I want you to capture this. If you give yourself to the small things in life that God has for you, and you wait and you watch, he'll do great things in your life. There's a story of a great leader. He was a solid pastor, leads a national ministry by the name of John Maxwell. He's had impact in the secular world, great impact in the Christian world, incredible leader. And he said when he was a junior high boy that there was a man that taught their junior high Sunday school class. And how many of you know that could be a tough class, right? Teaching junior high boys. Tough class, right? You know what I'm talking about. And one day after class, the teacher said, John, I need him and his friend, I want y'all to stay after class today. I feel like I have something to tell you. And they said after class, they all respected him. They all looked up to him. He says, eagerly waiting. And everyone else left the class before church started. And John and his friend sat in there. And he said, I've been praying for you guys like I do every week. I've been praying for everyone in the class. And I feel like God spoke to me something about you guys. And I just want you to know that I feel like he's saying you're called into ministry. Now, you need to make sure that that's the Lord. But I feel like that's something that that God's going to speak to your life. And John said, I was really excited. I was really, is this, exciting moment that this man I really respected was telling me something really neat. And he said that a few years later, sure enough, at a camp, he felt God's call to ministry and had this huge impact. And he went back later and he interviewed this Sunday school teacher. And he said, how long did you teach junior high boys, the least glamorous class of all Sunday school classes? The hardest one to get teachers for. Junior high boys. And he said, I taught that class for 31 years. And he said, how many boys did you feel like God spoke to your heart that are actively in ministry now, all these years later? And he said, I counted them up before our meeting, and I could count 33 that are still in occupational ministry. Because one man was willing to serve in a non-prestigious area for 31 years. 33 men were called into ministry or the mission field, and one of them literally shaped Christian leadership for a generation. Literally shaped Christian leadership for a generation. So my thing is, give yourself to the small things of this life and wait and watch as God does great things in your life. There's one more story I want to close with. Is that there was a church outside of Pittsburgh that was strong and was doing well, and there was a church that a few believers that commuted a long way, that felt a long way at that time through the roads of that day, and they said, would you help us to plant a church? And so the pastor went to the board and said, let's plant a church 40 minutes away, and let's just plant this church and establish it, and let's fund it. We've got the money to do it. And the board said, no, we're not going to send any people, we're not going to send any money, that this is not what we're going to do. So for the next 5 years, the pastor got up early himself, drove and did a Bible study with a few believers in that community, 40 minutes away, came back and did his own church service and would drive, and it grew from a handful, it grew to a couple of dozen, it grew to where after 5 years, they were able to hire their own pastor. All against the wishes and the plans of the board of the church. And now, 40 years later, that church is in the process, that little church that was planted is in the process of planting 100 churches in 10 years. All because one man did a few small things obedient to the Lord, which opened the door to God to do great things. And so today, where are you called to serve? And are you available? Do you have the ability to do worship? Do you have the ability to clean? Do you have the ability to set up before service and tear down after? Do you have the ability to teach? Do you have the ability to visit those who are sick? Well, are you available to do what God has created you to do? And I want to encourage you, we'll never apologize for encouraging you to serve, because it is a matter of you saying, God, I'm letting you do whatever you want with my life. Would you pray with me today? Father, I thank you, Lord, for a church and for a congregation that has such a high level of volunteerism. Lord, in the Bible, you call it servanthood. And it is a very, very desirable trait, one of humility, of saying, I will serve, I will use my ability, my talents. You call that worship when we use our time, our talents, our abilities, our treasures for your kingdom. You call that worship. And so today, God, I thank you for a church that is so willing, Lord, to be servants for you, so willing to worship you with their lives, so willing to worship you with their talents, so willing to sacrifice and shift a schedule and to shift things for a group of people that they've never met that need some help. I thank you, Lord, for this church that's been so faithful to you and so unselfish to your cause. I thank you, God. And I pray, God, that today we would continue to say, Lord, whatever you want with my life, whatever you want with my talent, whatever you want, I want to do it, God. I want to serve you more than just sitting and filling a space, though that's important. It's not the priority. Though coming and worshiping together is a huge deal to you, not serving is not your plan. So Lord, I pray that each one of us in here would find your spot and serve humbly and serve faithfully and serve joyfully and serve consistently, God, with the abilities that you've given us.